Now, this is a similar Episcopalian is to a Rabbi Leah Fischel, who lives in London. I don't know anything else about Rabbi Leah Fischel, but he lives in London at approximately the right time, which we're talking about the 18th century. And it's a teshuva, right, which is a sort of postmodern, that it's a teshuva about a teshuva about a teshuva. Right, so the Rabbi Leah Fischel sent a kushra to the Notes of Yehuda, which recorded disputes between two British rabbis about whether or not to allow an autopsy in a particular case. Then Rabbi Fischel has his own comment about the controversy, and then Yehuda has his own comment about Rabbi Fischel's comment about the controversy. Right, okay, so we start right on line 4. There was somebody there who suffered from what I used to call kidney stone, but I'm now apparently supposed to call bladder stone. Since I know, confess to having absolutely no knowledge of either of these things, so we'll call it bladder stone and you can know the difference yourself. Presumably kidney stone is in the kidney and the bladder stone is in the bladder. Okay, well also let's refer to the Rabin Chakuki.com and the surgeons cut the way surgeons like to cut. They take the full amount of kazoo, well also let's refer to me. Okay, he died. In Yishalushim Kachmeh, you're in Lutalach Soch, the Guth HaMeit, Matom HaZeh, you know, Kirei Lerotim HaFeit, Sharash HaMakahatot. So the Rabbanim, the Rechafim is Rabbanim, so you were asked if it's permissible to conduct an autopsy, Kirei Lerotim HaFeit, Sharash HaMakahatot. Yes, I'm not sure what the word HaFeit means here. What do you think the word HaFeit means?
Well.
Okay. I would think probably demonstratively. That's probably the best we could do as a translation, right? The theory is, until you cut it up, you don't know. Well, I don't really know what the shortage of a bladder stone is. What does that mean, and how an autopsy is going to determine what the shortage of a bladder stone is? So, okay. Today we lamed mizeh behanagat harosim mikano laba in yisrael mikrekez. And the purpose of this is surgical education. Shiyedu eichitam gubinyan hachituch haturus refua. Okay, so the question is framed very directly. On the one hand, we presume that that as a practical matter, all things being equal, an autopsy is nivul hamid. And on the other hand, right, the question is this mutar because it's a talus nefashot. Okay? Now, you might think that that's cheetah. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda at some point will raise the question of cheetah. But one of the really fascinating things is that it is not cheetah to any of the characters in here other than Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So the first question you have to ask ourselves is, what kind of question is that? Nivul Hamid versus Pikur HaHash. Right? So first, how would you answer that question about then? Yes, sir. So you think that they're not really saying about others, but they claim it, right? So then what's the answer? So what's the general rule about people of Nefesh? Okay, so we're living here, right? Because as far as what we're learning on him, right, the shadow should be, yes, people of Nefesh, not people of Nefesh. Right? And why does evil and hate be any different? Now we'll discuss after the same time that there are, right, that people have constructed, right, post this truth, all sorts of interesting arguments as to why Nibulam Maid should, right, why Nibulam Maid should transgress, should override, to override the Chayvan, but the classic story is the Chassam Sofer, at least is apparently understood that saying, and I don't guarantee that I haven't done the Chuvan enough yet. The Chassam Sofer often doesn't seem to say exactly what he seems to be saying, but at least the Chassam Sofer understood it saying that this is, we'll see the position that you can't be Makhilat Salman of Chavero, this is the Shulchan Aruch and Amis. Okay, let us assume that is not what is going on. And I was assuming that is the post-factive construction. We have an interesting question, why? Right, why when the question is framed that starkly, is framed that starkly, is the answer not obvious? Okay, but now we're still in Rabbi Fischel's report, line 15. And I'm not here, but I tell them not in the Chanitash and the Tina B'Torah, the Yaakov, the Yotei, the Chanitash, the Malachim, the Israel. Okay, if you want to learn, look, we allow embalming. To allow embalming, why don't we allow, right, why don't we allow autopsy? Okay, so now let's assume for now, although right, there are opponents who resolve the issue this way also, let's assume for now that embalming actually involves cutting open the body and removing the intestines. So you can't resolve the solution by claiming that the embalming of the elbows was some kind of miraculous embalming, right, which is different than, and that is not an old Egyptian embalming, right, some kind of new kind of embalming. It doesn't involve the bone in any way whatsoever. We're not going to resolve the issue that way. So the Maki wants to learn, well, just like, right, now, What's the raya? Could have said Kal Vachomer in a way. Okay, so now you're assuming, right, so you're assuming hey, that the raya from the autopsy is not that, oh, we see cutting up the body is not Nibbul HaMeis. The raya in the autopsy is cutting up the body, which we know is Nibbul HaMeis, there's Mutter for the sake of the mom, so it must be Mutter here. Well, then you read line 17, right? So we read that as the primary reason is the reason it's Mutter is because of Lodam, or A, it's Mutter, and B, if you want to be Mutter, no, it's not really Mutter, it's only Mutter, it's because the embalming is for the cover of the body, this too is for the cover. Yes. Well, whether he has a Havamina that we just learned in Pentecost, that as long as we fill the body back up, it's fine. It's not clear. Okay, but let's bracket that question. Let's assume that we are dealing with a physical action that would be considered Nibbul HaMeis.
Would it have some holy effect
that you say
that
we're going
to make to do an autopsy
to
find out what
the
natural difference in the shape of?
Maybe that's so much more invasive autopsy.
They brought
it up. Okay, interesting question. Maybe the Lord just never got to that because it's all Havamina there anyway. Okay, the Inkis Eilus Vodam, Kamzeus for Hamais, we have Rebach Hatalal, Yadolus Farakolam. Okay, if you're going to claim that it's Vodam, right, that the Hanita was only Mutter for Kamzeus, this is open for Hamais. Now, obviously, it's not the same kind of for Hamais, right, because here we're talking about the code of the group, and here we're talking about the code of the personality, the Yesh Bechalik. And furthermore, again, Rebach Hatalal, Yadolus Farakolam, if he's saving lives, who cares if it's for Hamais? Okay, that's the Machir's right. The only thing you write is Shubat Arash, the Shubat Yerveya, Shin Sam Gimel, the Ruta and Shin Tidal Lavan of Lalicha, the Machin Kiva Kadosav, Shin Musa with Tain Tidal Abbasra Lamaya Ha'iko. Okay, if you add a four line or some kind of caustic over the bones in order to speed up the decomposition so that you can move the bones right to the next Makam Makvur. Okay, this is a trip that plays out in all sorts of reburial things. That we're all accused of doing reburying the victims of that city in Poland, and to burn them in the barn. There's also interesting implications for that. But the way the Matthew learned the riot was, really you're not supposed to cross the body and decompose fat. So it's Nibbul HaMeis to pour acid over the grid. Not that, you know, nobody sees it. It's already buried, and you know, Nibbul by removing the flesh. I don't know who says skeletons are less, less covetic than half decomposed, right? Than half decomposed bodies. There are not many assumptions being made here, but let's assume this. So he learns this. Harayshu pei parasha shesiva halicha l'kever sabosas. He can harash the panos mekiver rishon. He can hasin that sfilah. Kal v'chomer kan shu kodem ha'kvura. Okay, so how do you understand the Kal v'chomer? How do you guys understand the Kal v'chomer? If I can write, let me test that. It's a greater source here. But if I can do it in order to rebury somebody, then Kal v'chomer I can do it for people's message. So that's not what he said. Very good, right? Line 28, he says the telephone here is that Kanshu Kodana Kvura. Okay, right, so it's interesting, right? So his right is, if you can do something which he thinks is genuine Nibbul HaMeis, they shouldn't tarach shah. So then Kalmakoma here, we should be able to do something which is less serious Nibbul HaMeis, because Kodana Kvura, even if there weren't a really serious tarach shah, which there is. Okay, this is not one of the world's great lights. Okay, told you. They will give me an oath there. Okay, but now, right, so now again, this is a fair presentation. That was a mod here. They will give me an oath there. It's really hot in here. Let me turn the air conditioner on. That's right, you're not going to stay awake at night. Open the window. You're not going to stay awake at night. Well, I have great faith in my rhetorical capacity. It tends to, okay, thank you. Okay, may I leave my hand open? Thank you very much, much better. May I leave my hand open there? Which we'll learn again, we'll learn in more depth in a moment, in which there is a dispute as to whether inherited properties at the time they were sold by the heir to third party buyers. Right? Was the heir had puberty or not his puberty? And the issue was, could they dig him up to ascertain whether, in fact, he had puberty or not? And the Kiva said in one version of the story, and the Kiva said, no, you can't dig him up and check whether he has reached puberty or not. Well, that's an interesting question. How do you say, not so precious that there's any evil on made at all, and digging a body and checking whether it has, right? Yeah. It's not evil on me. So the problem. Okay, we don't know exactly what the right is. Okay, but we're still back. The Chacham HaMatir, right? So we'll call the Matir A and the Osir B, or the interpretational narrator is C, and the Matir is D. Okay, right? So B responded to A and said, "Now the Shani Sham to the Shul Mamam Rasu Anavlo." The Lachen Amalem Rekiva Tenim Rishayim. The Matir says, what are you talking about? In Rekiva's case, why did they want to be monopoly in whatever way they were going to monopoly in? Because they wanted to get their money back. But here is Patanus Nefashos. Okay, now, again, we're going, obviously. Okay, so the result is, that's just the end of the debate in London. And the mystery about the debate in London is why anybody is having a discussion. Right? Nobody argues about it being at all in the budget. Why doesn't that end the conversation? Okay, then we had an interesting debate back and forth about what this here does, right? Is Chayim Tefillachim really a good raya? Nah. Is the Shulachim really a good raya? Nah. Is Rabbi Akiva really a raya? Lakara, yeah, Rabbi Akiva is really a raya. It's not the table of eight, but what does it do with anything? We're talking about the 12 Nefesh. Okay. Moving right along.
Okay, so now we are on line
39. Okay, so now we get to number 3, we get to C. And we never know if B and A are purely presented, right? Because we never get to hear B and A themselves. Right? But now we're to C. The Malasa Delta Dibre Shmeng and B&A are Yosam. The Kol Dibre Malasa Bezre Torahim and the Dvarim Haruim and Mishamra. Okay, so now the Rita says, you, Rabbi C, right? You knocked them all out, you're right, right? They're ridiculous. Because first of all, nobody embalms somebody in order to deem as onto the mate. Right? I don't know if you have a photo, right? You embalm the body in order to preserve the body because that's coming on me. Okay, that's an interesting assumption there that we are result oriented, not act oriented, because right, cutting open the body is designing on me. Embalming the body is coming on me. So apparently you can engage in various kinds of design in order to do for couple. That makes sense. That's what power is too. Sometimes, right? You do things that are interesting. If people are watching it, they don't even be made, right? You pump out the excrement, right? You do all sorts of things. Well, the purpose of this is eventually to preserve the body in a, right? In a, right? So that's the first thing. Just think this whole, that whole thing is beyond the person. Beyond the scene of the city, I'll make an evil below the doyen. Okay? And similarly, just pouring the wine over the dead body, right, you're not doing anything to the mouth of the body. The body's in the ground. That's my question. The body's in the ground. You're pouring wine over the ground. And you end up with a neatly preserved skeleton. Yes?
That's also the opposite
of reasonable.
That's
right. But in either case, right, we're just looking at what's the result of the body. The result of the body, in either case, is the body is in a perfectly coveted position.
Yeah, I think the first one, especially for the result, this one doesn't... Is at the end, and since you're not directly doing it with the body, you're sort of
Okay, well, I think if it ended up in Bizarin, it might still be a problem. As a result of pouring the limestone over it, was you ended up displaying the body in a museum as part of the bodywork exhibit. You might have a lot of trouble with it. But it's not. It makes the body more...
Did you say you had the body before you did before?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. It depends what the purpose is. I don't know if Nicola Mace ends up as a skeleton at all, in front of anybody. Yeah, it might be fine no matter what. I don't know. It might be fine no matter what. You know, he doesn't tell you what his rationale is. He just doesn't think, at least in that context, right? We can't, you know, at least in that context, he seems to think that there's no issue at all. Okay. So the Nazi is gone. All his riots are gone. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda comes in and says, right, and he just doesn't understand what the previous discussion was. And this is really interesting. And we don't understand the previous discussion with either. Right? I don't understand. How can somebody bring a raya that Nivola Maid is also for Pekos Nefesh because it's also for money? Okay, so we're still here. That's a core incoherence in this sugya, right? Which you start wondering. Okay, so if you have to start wondering at this level, is I'm misunderstanding something here, or is there something that I have always thought was obvious because I learned it in other notes that actually isn't true, or at least wasn't true in the 18th century? And the one thing that's obvious is that the cause method is built to cause our cause. Okay. But now we're back in, right? So we got rid of the Masir, and we got rid of the, right, and we got rid of the, and the Nebuchadnezzar got rid of the Osir, but that was the Nebuchadnezzar himself, right, because he himself didn't take care of the Osir that way. Okay, this was just the Nebuchadnezzar's first editorial introduction. And so far just narrated. But now we're back to C. The Masihashi could not want to give the Osir to Amar. The Surah, you're not going to rest the woman of Osir, Adam, the Shambu Kocheter. Right, the author B himself said that no, the whole proof of Rabbi, sorry, A himself said, the whole proof of Rabbi Akiva, right, trying to prove the Rabbi Akiva, you're backwards. Because there the Gemara has two positions. The Gemara says, well, yeah, right, Lukukos, the Nazal, the Nazal. Right, so the Akiva in one version, Rabbi Akiva tells them, no, you can't be Makirin, okay? The Gemara then goes through two positions. Why does Rabbi Akiva tell them they can't be the Nazal? And the Gemara says, well, if it's the Yorshim, so, all right, they can't tell him the Nazalit. But what happens if the situation is that that it's the Lekuchos, the one to dig him up? Because right now the property is still in the hands of the relatives, and the Lekuchos want to demonstrate the validity of the sale, so they say, dig him up, and let us prove to his puberty. So the Yorshim says at that point, well, that can't be the case, because if that were the case, then Rabbi Kim would never have told them. Don't give another. Again, I said, go ahead and give another. Okay, so you, right, you, B, want to prove from here that Nivola Mace is also even the Tsar of money. But you look at the Sunya, it tells you that Nivola Mace is actually much of the Tsar of money. And that's actually a very good thought. And it's kind of astonishing to figure out what on earth the Oster was, right, the Oster was discussing. I mean, the word that should tell to us, well, how should you get Nivola Mace? Okay, so the Yeg, and that's your answer, Hishi is my last one, how come I'll say. Let's consider where we are right now. Okay, where we are right now, so we had a Raya from the Chanita, we said, for the Master, we said, Ba. We had a Raya from the Rosh, for the Master, we said, Ba. Right, we had a Raya from Nibla Mace, and we kind of just said, Ba to that also. So, what are we left with at this stage? What evidence do we have? Nothing. All right, we just got rid of it. We have happily gotten rid of all the evidence, except that it's just, well, yeah, but by the way, what on earth is this whole conversation about? Okay, see what's with this. Just go home. But it's a long time before we get to that. Okay? It's 155. Now he says, okay. So right now, where I am is that I think that you, C, have done a good job getting rid of the riots of A, and done a good job getting rid of the riots from B. I just don't know why you bothered. Oh, no. With each and E is the Amiho, sir. I don't know who this B was, who you responded to. Who likes to remember Bananu, and maybe he was a young rabbi who I have interest in maintaining good relations with, or I don't know, I don't want to humiliate. Darkie is a Chatzitzkus. I'm going to look for the Mitzkus to try and explain how he could be Osir. Okay, it didn't look for the Mitzkus to the Matir. Right, it looked for the Mitzkus to be Osir. Who am I coming up to? He's a good world, called upon him, Shai Yorshim, Shai Mishpach and Tamez, in on Rishon Mudazlo, Hashem Ha'ilam, Seyed Ha'zeh, Kevan Shehen Krovit. Okay, so it becomes a clever explanation that maybe what the Osir said was not to be learned from here that Hefin Merubah isn't built at Nivul HaMeis. We learn from here that Hefin Merubah isn't built at Nivul HaMeis for Krovit. Okay, the Chayim Mefurish on Betotzus, you're not Kuzuziyadiyam, the Chayim Mefurish, the Konshinish Batsen Kuzayim Kitet Saga, even Balchol, who Krova Shal HaMeis, Mokim Yadu Shal HaKei Kura Tamei Tishul Tiron Kova. Mishtam Agam Batinah Shal HaKoyinya, he asked her Lassos Tavar, Be'amei, Dilti Haskamas Kova, Be'ebi HaKakam HaOtirish, Ene Yorshim Rashayim HaHaskim HaNavu. Okay, right, so this is a really interesting claim, that the whole ground of the Osir was a specific issue for the Krovin to the Maskin, to the Maskin for something. Now, what would that be grounded on? Kibbutz Av. Okay, not bad. Kibbutz Av. Clever. I would have thought it might also just come to the Kura. They have a special... So they can't delay the tour.
I told you, and then you go to Berkeley
that time. And then what? Did you go up again? That's an interesting claim. That's an interesting claim. I have to check that. Right? Do you fulfill the city tour if you pick it up again? Because right, it's not them, it's Tesla, it's called Nick Warren. An interesting question. I don't know the answer to that.
I assume it's right.
The problem with Krovin is that this Lathar applies to Krovin Dekhal, not just to direct line Krovin. So it applies to whichever Krovin has a Kiyot Kura, I think. So Kiyot Av isn't enough, because there's no Kiyot Kiyot Av name on you could even be younger brother. Or you're very. So I would think it has to be some kind of something has to be related to the Chiddush Kura, rather than Kibbutz Av. Okay, that's a Tarafian. Okay, so we put the Osir back together again. The name of the Osir holds that the special Isir that Krovim are not allowed to be Maskim to Nivul HaMeis for money. He doesn't bother trying to find out what about Pikuach Nefesh, because as far as he's concerned, Pikuach Nefesh never enters it. Right? If Pikuach Nefesh, the whole game is over. Okay, now he's put B back together again, C is on his version. Right, a little bit. Now he goes on to write a C himself. He says, this one's really very clever. Okay, so the Gemara there is trying to prove that we do go with Shekhen Hokin Acharu. So how do we have your hokin Acharu? Because you can execute people for murder. And why can you execute people for murder? Right, it might always be that the person they killed was a traitor. So then we suggest, okay, well, maybe there is a way we can execute the right. Since the Torah says that executing people for murder is possible, right, so there must be, we're not going to sit willing to say, why is not so clear, but we're not willing to say that. So there has to be, since the Torah says most of your master, there has to be a way in which you can kill the Zoteh, that means there has to be some circumstance in which we can discount the possibility that the victim will be Zoteh. Let's say that in fact we are going to inspect every murder victim to see whether or not they have whether or not they're a traitor. Okay, which C claims in line 67 means, Haray the Mahatil Harutea, Hayamutu Banadil Hayamutu Banadil Haru. Okay, right, so it implies that we can examine the victim. Right, in order to save the life of the potential murderer by demonstrating that he is a traitor. So that temporarily will demonstrate to us that Nivel HaMeis is Mutter for Achtalos Nefashos. Okay, now we're going to say, hang on a second. No, the Chitam of the Shem, Bada Yaskal Ahu Lekam, Zafi Kulishirah, the Rokin Tama Teretz Lekam. You're going to tell me, well, look, if we find he's a traitor, it's Bada Yaskal Ahu. Whereas, if whatever they find out about this disease is only going to produce a suffix. Right? So maybe we only allow Nivel HaMeis in order to create a suffix Bada Yaskal Ahu. So we don't allow Nivel HaMeis in order to create a Bada Yaskal Ahu. Right? That's what he argues, and he says, right, this is what he argues, and the answer is no. Sham gam kein suffix l'sham yin satrefa. It all just collapses into a probability function. Okay, this is always, I always quote the discussion with my friend about the difference between belief and unbelief. A very important thing, right? Whether I had a friend who argued that you could say, I mean, I'm in the middle, even though I know perfectly well that there's no more likely that my belief is true than anybody else's belief. And there's no contradiction, right? Because I'm not in the middle, 100%. How much do I believe? 100%? Do I believe my belief is true? The odds are pretty minimal. And I always argue this collapse to probability function, right? You take the percentage of your emuna, multiply it by the percentage of your meta emuna, and you merge with the total product of your emuna. I think that's actually a very assertive hypothesis. I go back to this, often in my life, because I find in more and more situations that people make that shiloh between emuna and meta emuna, and it's actually very important. Okay. So this is right. The Hadamina is that you can distinguish between these and that, right? And the right that maybe that by Nivel HaMeis we're talking about Bale HaTola, there's only a certain X percentage that will be Bale HaTola, whereas by the autopsy we're talking about Tzavik HaTola, even though it's Bale that there's going to be a Tzavik, no. It all breaks down the probability function. And then he just goes off the reservation and says, the only thing, Tzavik people have their Tzavik HaTola, he's turned to the Tzavik HaTola, plus. All right. Right. So again, where did your whole discussion come from, right? If we're talking about something we go hevish, then who needs the whole, right? Who needs the riot? Okay. Here's not left to the numbers there. But the Judas says, he went on for a long time about this. Okay, but here's what the Judas says, has a very clever thing. He says, hey, some of you probably already got that this riot was off. So you all get why this riot was off? You were raising your hand briefly. Yeah. But you can't execute the people who killed them. Huh? But you can't execute the people who killed them. You don't need to be able to execute every murderer.
I know.
That's what you thought. No, so he has a very, very clever thing. He says, behave as that means that the authority of the Gemara is going on. That right, says, all Gemara makes no sense. The eighth column is from Ibn Nefer to Hayyid Abbey. Got it, Abbey, then Ibn Nefer to Mahani Sarasya. So you loaded up, Abbey. You not tell her what's the after. You not say Sarah. Right, this is all entirely backwards. And that is absolutely right. The Gemara says, we are committed, why are we doing the autopsy in order to save the murderer? Who cares? If we wouldn't allow the autopsy, then he would go free. Because we'd have a suffix. No, the whole point is we're trying to prove rules here. Okay, will that prove? Okay, let's see if it's different than what he's going to suggest. The Torah forbids the autopsy. In Cain, right, and obviously, the Torah, right, since the Torah commands you to kill him, and obviously the Torah is going to allow you to kill him without Sadiqa, so Allah is called Hashem HaTrei Tamara. Right, so now it's now the line which I think is actually very important, which I actually can explicit in several other places, but it's very clever. How do you understand that line? to play at, okay? Dario had one idea, right, which was, well, why don't we just say, you know what, this is not a halakha of Okanach HaRol, this is like, there's a custom here, we're not kosher for the midah of Shemeshrei Parah. Okay, now he says, in front of Chazal, we have two options. We could learn the pasuk as teaching us that we don't allow bedika, and therefore we kill murder victims. Because we kill murderers, even if we don't know that the victim was on a drizza. Right? Or we can learn it that we have to conduct autopsies. It must be the Torah permits autopsies, because otherwise we would end up killing murderers. One in a million who in fact kill the Tresa. Because since the Torah says Vitilo Ha'eda, we learn Vitilo Ha'eda as an imperative to lead the Tzukim in the way which gets the most possible people off, so long as we can still convict somebody. So therefore, given a choice between these two ways of reading the pasuk, we would choose to read the pasuk in such a way that requires the autopsy. Okay, therefore, since we're going to read the Torah, why are we going to read the Torah that way? In order to save all the people who genuinely kill choices. So though it turns out that this autopsy is being conducted in order to enable us to kill this murderer, but autopsies in general are conducted in order to acquit people who kill traitors. That's a very, very clever rereading of the rereading the book. Right? It's not so blunt in the language. The Chitayim should even message to high. It said the Chitayim should even message. Right? Life would be much better. But okay. But we can say, well, even this guy, right? The way you start is this way. This fellow right now, if we weren't to allow Nibel Ameh, then he would be executed regardless. Because we would execute him without knowing that he's a traitor. So we allow the Nibel in order to make it possible for the Turks, right, to not rely on the roof, right, which gives this person the possibility of having his life saved if we turn out as a traitor. Okay? So he's running by the name of Michel. It's not as good as it is, you know, doing this kind of calculation. Rory says, Yom Rinan Shal Olam Yerag Yosef with Dika Panera, in K Nibel Zedu Lichoda Shulhan Yirtach. The call national should explode on him. Okay, now you have a radical move. Right? The covet of the victim is for the murderer to be brought to justice. Okay, so it seems so far as Nodigudah himself has a fairly expansive notion of covet. So he's fine with the notion that embalming is what covet is. He's fine with the notion that pouring seed is what covet is. And he's even fine with the notion that catching a murderer, executing a murderer, is what covet is. Right, it's a very broad notion. He's not trying to limit, if you have to do anything, he's trying to limit Nibel Ameh, not trying to limit Kod Ameh. Okay, so now he says, as cold as a Kasapi will seem to raise him, Shasim Karim, they have to cook up, that's all in the message. Everything I've written so far, that was all according to you guys. You all wrote this book to cook up message. Now, who all you are is not really right, it's really C who wrote it. Right. A and B were all right, seem to ignore the question of the Talmud Pashas. C, at the end of it, one was right, and at the end said it's all Talmud Pashas, and you don't really know what you're talking about, because the whole time you're doing this. But, okay. So there comes along and says, you all come into Kof Nefesh. I've already come up, but I am astounded. Hello, and say, you carry a field of Satek of Talmud Pashas. In 10, why don't I call a field? Right, this isn't even Satek of Talmud Pashas. Who do you know this one is?
Okay, what I want you to know is, I'm really still wrong. Okay, I should check that.
Okay, I'm just telling you. Okay.
That to me is the coolest thing about this chula. After all the wonders, and very really good wonders, when it comes push the shabbat chula, all the mitzvahs vanish. Okay, so the now Jesus says is Amnam. He says, "Kol ze v'yesh takanas nefashas tukumenu." Okay, this is the line that you're going to survive in all future halachas.
Well, the whole claim that there is such a thing as kikot nefesh or kol terukula applies only when there is takanas nefashas tukumenu. They go in kola when the field is gal, right? So the classic case is on Shabbos. There's a sick person, you have to do a challah Shabbos for them. Right? Somebody had a wall fall on them. You have to do that, right? The chen neshech akul and gabi roseh hapikuch nefesh lefaninu. Now, the murderer is on trial, even though that's not true the way he explained the sugya. There's no pikuch nefesh lefaninu there. It's pakir. We're conducting the autopsy in order to kill him, not to save him. Okay. We'll bracket that little problem. Okay, we are right, so we can actually lose the money. Okay, very well indeed. And all that can be done, aim time shum kola hatzarech with that. But in our case, there's no sick person who needs this. Rav Shirokin Rilmos Chachma Zu Ulai Zamen Kola Shiyatarech with that. They want to learn about this medical wisdom in case somebody becomes sick who needs this. Vaday Mozuchina Mishum Chashasha Kala Zu Shum Yitru Torah Oh, a few Yitru Dirabonim. Okay, we're not doing the Alaska, or even the Rabbanon, for this minor, now, let me ask you a question. How many people do you think suffer from bladder stones in London in the mid-18th century? Lots and lots of people. Lots and lots and lots of people. So this is a wild claim. To call this the Khashasha Kala, well, you gotta know, right, that bladder stone, right, in London itself, there are bladder stone surgeries going on every day. And the extreme rhetoric, right? That means we don't treat this as seriously as the Polish angel of the cup. That's a wild thing to claim. That's right. This is a wild, wild claim. Why? She must have covered the shush as your traffic necessity. In Cain, Yekom Lachet Tarasul. Shnika to Bishol Saman Mayim, Bechanas to Yizem and Lachadu, and Mutter Bishavdus. Because if you called it Tafik Bikot Nefesh, well then guess what? All medical labor should be Mutter and Shavdus. Maybe somebody will get sick when he uses medicine. Right? Maybe somebody will need a scalpel. Right? Modern case. All cancer research should be Mutter and Shavdus. Now, cancer research is actually better because it's even a whole of it, right? So that's more so. Well. All right.
Right? That's what he claims, right? Is that right, we have to claim that this case is right, this case is not the Kol Nefesh, because if it were, then all malachus of Rasua would be mutter on Shabbos. Shema Yizana Yom Olayla Kol Shiyat Tarak Lutzer. Okay. How do we know that's not true? Well, you mean if this happened, then people will start carrying beepers on Shabbos in case they got calls because somebody was sick? How did you know? I just give you an example, right? You know, the honorable things that might be caused. So you can't take medicine until Manasseh might prepare yourself such a
way to go out on one.
Right. That's more like 15 times and say, well, you can't do that.
That's not explaining that much. Okay. So, right, so the claim is with this guy, right, if this, right, so you want to claim this is not a practical reductio ad absurdum, it's a halachic reductio ad absurdum, since we know that there are times when certain malachos on Shabbos are up there. Right, so I can claim, well, you know what, those are probably my cases where there already are enough ready, or you're not a doctor, okay. Right, or most questions, these are cases where you should have done it before Shabbos. Right, that's the question answer. Only there are cases where you should have done it before Shabbos. And in fact, it's right, it's just like a haircut on Shulchan Amoed. Right, why do we opt to speak of someone on Shabbos? Do we want people to have the medicine ready before Shabbos? Right, so right, that's the question answer. Okay. But he says no. He says that is a lochalik in chashu l'zman karov, but chashu l'zman rachuk, kasha lochalik. Okay, now it's not all clear what that line means. Any idea what that line means? Lochalik in chashu l'zman karov, l'zman rachuk. Right. So what is the case? Right. He says. He says you could evade my raya if you distinguish between a chashu l'zman karov and a chashu l'zman rachuk. So we're not going to use that filler. Right? That's a bad filler. Don't try it on me. So the chashu l'zman karov b'chora has to be the case of the baristan, right? Where you really do expect it imminently. What the other case of baristan won't mean. Nonetheless, nope. As long as there's no person on the operating table with a baristan, right? Then you can't do the autopsy. Okay. The chalila hati dov is this. I got to do the shirin after this. Now, people will say, well, in an opinion, telling the Pachmuk and Tilach, that I have some made. Even Gentile doctors don't do this, except an execution victim. Old Nisha Hishkin, the Hishkin, the Hashem, the Chayim, the Tach, there's somebody who agreed in his life to do this. The Ilan is not the Shom, the Kilim, the Devers, and who would God forbid to miss this? In Chayim, not to call an Ethim, then all the dead bodies would be cut up, the Ilumo, Peter, the Barmah, the Ilumo, the Sun, so that we could learn anatomy. Medical school would happen. Right, this way, some discovery is that there has been two horrifying possibilities. Medical school and doctors wearing deeper one shot. And as evidence, society falls apart if you permit either of these possibilities. Right, so this is obviously out there because nobody in their right mind could consider being author even a firm derbanan for the sake of this kind of pikuach nefesh, and therefore kal v'chomer nivul ha'meis, which is usher in some way or another, although we have never established whether it's usher derbanan derbanan. Okay, so the thing that really interests me about this is what raya does he have to the chol v'chomer nivul ha'meis? None. What raya does he have that is bad for all melachim v'chomer nivul ha'meis? Not really. What right does he have in Cain up to call Mason? None. Okay. What happens to this later on? So a bunch of interesting things happen to this tutor later on. Mostly, people say the following. So for example, we have decided by the Chaladev that Mesut HaLeifer is a beautiful tutor laying the dog. We have decided that genetic diseases are a whole of the because even though nobody's actually sick, but since somebody else has the gene, that makes them as a basic call of anger. So it's perfectly mutter to the last autopsy of people with genetic diseases. Yeah, it doesn't seem very convincing, but...
No, 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 it's in the line. I mean, in the line, I presume it's, I mean, there are clearly there were people walking around in the body, there are clearly people walking around.
Yeah, not a very... But it also claimed that the percentages now, that nowadays medical knowledge is transmitted so quickly that there's always going to be a whole thing that's somewhere in the world. Okay, which is nice, but the Torah, medical information actually transmitted reasonably rapidly then to, it would eventually get in front of somebody, like a hole in front of them. So for a little while, the information to be transmitted not so great. There are many, many other repairs to allow the autopsy. So the two most fun shubas are the first dog and our Lugio. So the first dog shuba says, that, and I'm going to paraphrase for you. The first dog shuba says, essentially, it would be a chilul Hashem if we didn't have autopsy. So people don't look at the Jews and say, the Jews let people die because they're not willing to let people cut their bodies. Right, so, the first doctor says, look, we're running a state. The state has to have a medical examiner. Autopsies have to be looked at for public purposes, as long as there is some kind of purpose. The reveal says, class the shawl anybody should ever suggest that we should be mastering things all up just because the guy would think it looks bad. Well, anyway, class the shawl anybody should ever talk to my girl, you know, what is this? What is this? This makes you call the man. They're going to be dying for the next month. So those are the three approaches. One approach is to say the apostate might be able to just we extend the category of whole of many to the point that it exists somewhere in the world we will find it, or somewhere in the future in a way that is reasonably likely here. So I would call that paying lip service to the Yehuda. Then there's a second approach, which is to say that the Yehuda was right in his time, but for various reasons we can no longer talk him that way. And we're open about that, whether it's because of the change in social mores or because of the change in medical technology, whatever it may be. And the third possibility is to say he was wrong. The only reason he'll goes that far. And that's in terms of medical ethics, but there are all sorts of interesting issues where the Yehuda distinction of what matter shows up. For example, but how do we determine whether you can take phone calls on Rosh Hashanah to the past stimulus bills, right? Is it go on Nefesh because the stimulus bill doesn't pass because people are unemployment? Or can't go into medical school? Right, is going to medical school considered a whole lot not with China? So, here's what I want to introduce. This is not usually the way I do things it's something that is with send of accident. I have to tell you, copy that email was sent to Paula, and you can really read this book. But I read the book and she said, oh, that's what the Shiva's talking about. So I read a book, I forget actually know what it's called now. It's John Hunter, who's the father of modern surgery, who was a surgeon in the 18th century, who developed scientific surgery, which is to say surgery built on cadaver dissection. And you get this book gives you this wonderful picture of what happened there. So first of all, it tells you that this fellow studied under William something or other, who was famous for importing, his big trouble is the first major advance in surgery in the 18th century, which was of course based on cadaver dissection, was the French mode of doing, altogether, bladder stone surgery. Okay? So that's stage one. Now, let me tell you, he's fired up by the success of this feature of bladder stone surgery. John Hunter then went on a campaign in which he tried as best he could to dig up everybody in London. And there were armies, right? He and the other surgeons, right? His brother had a surgery school in which they promised every student a fresh cadaver to work on all through the winter. Right, they have to keep on through the record. Body can last more than 2 weeks. The entire winter season, every student in the school has to have a fresh cadaver every 2 weeks. Now, the official rule in London was that the Surgeons College, which did not approve of these people, the Surgeons College got the bodies of 6 executed criminals a year to study. Those are the only legitimate dissections in London. But the fellow John Hunter, first of all, they described these scenes, like when people would be hanging, right, there would be the relatives underneath on one side, and the surgeon's gang underneath on the other side, and they would be pulling the legs try and get the bodies out. And he would probably go through, right, you know, they wanted to go through church, right? And now he's picking up everybody and takes his body and tells him they were competing grave robbers on the same night, and they would dig it up and he really connects with somebody else and he stole the body. So now that every single body in London was at risk. So the strategy is, what he did here is doing that he not just disguised reality perfectly. The claim that he's out of touch because they didn't realize how much this would do, no. He's dealing with the one case where everybody knew that cadaver surgery saved, cadaver dissection saved life. And so, that is stone surgery, right? Everyone knows, he's rejected the doctor, but only knows about the advanced concern, right? Everybody knows that cadaver dissection saved life. And on the other hand, everybody also knows that if you want the surgeon to have their way, everybody is going to get dug up. There won't be a single, and it's not like they just got dissected nicely and put back together. Like, one of the great stories is, there was like, Hunter was trying to preserve, to leave his wife some money. So he was trying to build a museum of the peculiar cases that he got. So there was one fellow, a nine-foot giant, who he was trying all his life, he wanted to make sure before this guy dies, I have to, I have to get his bones. So, right, and this guy, it was like, he knows that I'm just trying to get his bones, and he makes sure transplanted, and when I die, you put me in a coffin, and you carry me all the way to the ocean, and you put me in a coffin in the ocean to make sure Hunter doesn't get my bones. So when he dies, they all get, they slip his bones, they put him in the coffin, and they carry him off to sea, but they make him a safe. So somewhere on the way, they stop at an inn. And they're blind the innkeeper. He distracts the friends, they get drunk, under his friends go, steal the body from the coffin, put stones in it, and the friends go and dump the coffin, pull the stones in the sea. 2 years later, Hunter's exhibiting his body.
So that is a, this kind of Marvin here. Can we double Marvin the next film just going out here? Okay. Okay. So, but I want it, so what seems to be clear after hearing this is that the other student knows perfectly well what the material is. He understands that medical surgery is necessary, right? That cadaver dissection is necessary for medical advances. He understands correctly the risk of allowing it if everybody gets dug up. Okay? He has no makura. What he has is a moral intuition that it's not okay for all the bodies to get dug up. Now that may be it, right? That may be that nowadays the pathology allows everything is more organized, but we don't have this moral intuition anymore. But his time, right, he was nonish and evil inmates, right? He was talking about cutting them up, you know, pickling the organs in, right, and distributing them, boiling the bones down, right, into some kind of into glutinous masses, right? So presented by this impossible choice, right? Then he was trying his best to come up with a workable chara that would save as many lives as possible. Without eliminating the whole concept of growth. Right, that's what he saw, right? He saw a choice between pikuach nefesh and the whole mitzvah of kura, not evil on base. Right, the whole mitzvah of kura. And he came up with a chiluk. It's a chiluk that has a certain amount of intuitive appeal, but it's wholly unsustainable in practice. Alright, because the distinction of Kolos I knew, right, if you look at the history of 200 years, it's a fail. Right, the category, right, it worked on the presumption that we don't care about percentages, right? Probability of saving a life doesn't matter in the slightest, right? Shash color, shash ruffles doesn't make a difference either. The only thing that matters is the person already, there's a sick already in front of us, or is the person not already in front of us. And that just didn't work. But it didn't, right? So yes, but in terms of, right, so I want to just set out that thesis that we have, right, that you have, essentially, in this case, is the history of a moral intuition. Right, it's not, right, he got the Lalundas, but the purpose of the Lalundas is to get rid of the Makura. Right, there's no effort by the Nebuchadnezzar to extract the principle from the Makura. All he does with the Makura, right, that's right, if you go through it, to make sure that none of those Makura can prevent him from saying what he needs to say. What I need to say is that I have to respect the Kol Nefesh, and that I have to find some way for everybody else to prevent everybody from being dug up. And this is the best he could do. Now, I think that there's a fair question if you want to reach your vote that way. First of all, do you want to say that you need to know history to reach your vote? Right, so Dr. Talbish presumably would say yes. In a certain sense, it was to read them historically. I read them halachically, I don't know if it works. Second question is one comfortable saying that when somebody comes up with a chiluk which they have no evidence, that this is an intuitive, right, this is an intuitive leap. You have a very famous example of this, right? So the one place where halacha which is openly said this is the famous Paras HaKeres. Right? Do you know about this? The Chavos Yair and abortion. Right? The Chavos Yair comes up with Roe v. Wade and says that abortion... Stop it! I got your thing, literally. No, it means that this is, right, he says, this is what I love, what I think, if I had to guess, is that in the first trimester, abortion is less often.
I'm not
going to
be the case.
The story is the distinction between first trimester and later trimesters, in terms of abortion. Right, and like Rosie Wade, except that he's more humble, and he says, this is as far as I care, and I'm not really sure he should be telling me on that. Right, that's an example where, again, I would say that, in terms of abortion and the code are so conflicting that it's not clear that you can do anything demonstrative based on, now, because the center is independent, we all think that 40 days in Ayabalma is an obvious position, but that certainly was not true, 30 years ago, and it's not going to be true again in 30 years. And Sense Over, which is bringing us home, thinking whether we think that 40 days is really the line. And on the other hand, Pesach, Pesach gets us down to like 44 days. So 40 days really started challenging people whether that's really the line. We have to figure out methodologically that if that's the comfortable way of reading it. I want to suggest that when you know the history of Yehuda, and you look at it, it seems pretty clear that's what's happening, and you can look at it and see the point at which the Makara is. I wish the Makoros made you can. And the thing, on the one hand, it makes him appreciate the tremendous effort he made. Right, that you can't dismiss him as saying he didn't know the medical reality, right? He didn't realize how much this actually would know. Right? The easy way out of that would be to claim this is not coming to the leverage at all, because how much do people learn from the section, right? I get very unhappy when I see people often cavalierly dismiss the Medav Yudah, that was then because I didn't know how much medical research would help. No! But he never once doubts the likelihood that people, right, that he assumes that people's lives will be saved, but the fact that people's lives will be saved is irrelevant. So it's not what I do. Now whether we are comfortable in the end, partially because we think generally medicine is more effective, partially because we are just socialized into a world in which death from, right, which we see death as generally medically preventable, as opposed to a world in which, death from disease is fairly normal, right? So you're going to only have some kind of minor preventative. I don't know why it is that it's not obvious to us to share an intuition. It may simply be that pathology labs are just, we just look at it and we say, it's not so much a lack of prevalence. We don't think, I know that one of the debates I have often with doctors and medical ethicists relates to what people's experience was in anatomy lab. Right, so what I was told about anatomy lab when my sister was in med school did not impress me as clinical and made me really unhappy with the whole concept. On the other hand, medical students at Dartmouth, I think it is, are required to meet the relatives of the donor. Right, and they're required to have a kahura, right, with the family after the course. Now, if you look at Navi Yehuda, right, here's one interesting thing historically. If you were writing a tribute like that nowadays, no one would raise an issue about the question of autopsies on parties who had not medical autopsies on non-willing donors. Now, it's a given nowadays. And of course, you only conduct medical school autopsies, right, training autopsies on willing donors. And the whole shadow would be, right, if anyone's raising a lot for it, the obvious shadow would be, is someone entitled to consent? No, Yehuda never addresses the issue of consent, except tangentially. Right, he says, right, even the rules, they almost all of them only do it on Haruge Malchus, or on people who have consented. Well,
Maybe it's Hooker that gets him. Right, because that wouldn't bother him. Right, because he has a very expansive notion of Kodesh HaMeis. Right, the only issue that bothers him is the reality that these churches are going to go dig up everybody, whether or not they're content or not. And the reality back then, right, he could have told Abshara and say, you can only do autopsies on people who consented, except that the reality in the 19th century was, the 18th century was that nobody consented. There were no willing donors. Even the surgeons, right, would leave in their wills, please don't let the other surgeons get me. Right, because they believed it's just that you'll find, unfortunately, find even orthodox Jewish in the newspapers, that the reason we oppose autopsies is because we believe that you have to be resurrected whole if you lose rid of, and if we take out an organ, you lose rid of. This is obviously just as you all realize it's just, I was already, dealt with this one case of somebody being eaten by a lion, right, so how does he get resurrected? And there's no way somebody can get eaten by lions, it doesn't mean they don't get resurrected. Or if they get eaten by a shayim, right, I heard the story that way. Also, I have my doubts about the. There's always a risk that it was supposed to be funny. This is the general problem. I think in many areas, the Olympic literature that people say things are supposed to be funny, but probably just don't get it. But this is just a problem in my career often. I want to put out there this way of reading the Tshuva. It raises the question, let's say my friend Rabbi Elishan Solovich would say that the proper way to talk to my Moshe then is to find a way to balance the competing issues in the same way he would have given that idea. So it might be that those tshuvos that interpret Chol Lufleinu with great expansiveness are in fact true to his intent. Because what his intent was to allow the maximum to go on that which that would preserve the Mitzvot Torah. So if you create a society that would preserve the Mitzvot Torah, then by all means, let's expand the definition of the Kodesh HaMeis. I don't know that I tend to be much more formalist than that, and to say that no, you have to admit that you're talking and you have to go to Judah. If you do that, because even if he would have agreed with that, he didn't say it. But I want to just really put on the table that notion that you have to be sensitive to when people are arguing from the color and when people are not arguing without the color. And I think that if you look at many shulot, you'll see that many shulot call the firing of eliminating the color, as opposed to that the goal is. So now some people do this more explicitly. The Stam Sofer has a shiva about the Mechalek Malonim after the three days of fire, which begins with a wonderful saying, everybody knows you can't decide who's saved with the Queen Halacha. And it just moves on from there. Stam Sofer wasn't quite as bothered by that. But I think that it makes a great deal of sense to pay attention to when Tosfim are functioning off really deeply held convictions of what is impossible, and when they're functioning off what's in the power of speech. Then you can decide for yourself which has more authority. You might argue that the deepest convictions of Tosfim, which come from the Neshama and are rooted in their whole vision of called Terakula, those are really binding. Everything else is just based on arguments. But I can hate a text too. Or you might argue, those as far as I care, as well as that by me. Right, when it comes to reading Sukkot, right, to reading the Torah, I have to doubt them because they're much greater Talmidei Chachamim than I am. I want to introduce this notion that the way to read Shavuot, and where there is to be much of literature, is to figure out, among other things, what their impact is, and to what degree the readings drive the halacha, and to what degree the halacha drives the reading. Now, you have that wonderful example in there of the notion that we learn from the Yisila Ha'eda, the way in which we're supposed to interpret all of the halachas of the criminal procedure. right, that in all choices where the Torah has two options, we interpret the Torah in such a way as minimal identification. Right, that's a very broad principle. We can ask ourselves, well, how many other principles are there like that? That we can then say, so when there's, right, so for example, someone might say that when there are two ways of interpreting Torah, one of which seems to maximize the telemilitary in every human being, and one of which seems not to, I will take it as a premise that we should adopt the interpretation of Torah which maximizes the telemilitary in every human being. On the other hand, somebody else might say there are two interpretations of one of which minimizes the differences between Adam and Halacha, and one of which does not. So I have friends who certainly will take, presume that you should take the reading that minimizes the differences, and I don't. They have to decide, you know, they have to decide whether that creates elevated ability to claim once they understand the story in different premises, or if I care, elevated ability to claim as soon as shared premises. And the fact that they're starting different premises means they're not in the parsha. Right, those are all the issues that one has to weigh out. I think that, you know, one takes this to the, as a model under the summer, you know, is deal with social question how among others. On two presumptions, which I think are parallel. One presumption is that Hilchos Lashon Hara make a very, very powerful moral statement about the proper ordering of relationships and information among people. And the other premise is that you can't run a moral society without a free press. And investigation, right? And figure out a way in which we can construct a halakha that manages to satisfy both those premises. And I hope that you'll consider joining me to build that. Thank you very much for listening. Work a little bit earlier than they know, fire under the That's right. Thank you for putting the word down again.